Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Thanks for that. Over the next 2 days, we're going to be sharing a conversation I had a few years back with Robert and Corrine Baltadano. Robert and Corrine are a loving married couple who, like many, long to start a family. But while God blesses many families with children, it seemed to be the one thing they could not have. But God's story for their family wasn't over. Instead, He was leading them toward a different path, adoption. Did you know since 1995, November has been recognized as National Adoption Month? According to the Adoption Network, about 5 million Americans are adopted. And at any given time, there's approximately 400,000 kids from infants up to age 18 waiting, hoping to be adopted. Some find their forever home. Sadly, many do not. Over 20,000 kids each year age out of the system and are never adopted. What waits for them as young adults is a world that they often are ill-equipped to handle. Today and tomorrow, we're going to examine how a child in need and a potential family can find each other, come together in a beautiful way that solves both sides of this need in a way that has God's hands all over it. For Robert and Corrine, the heartbreak of infertility left them feeling alone and isolated. They walked through years of silence, unsure how to share their pain, especially when others didn't know what to say or said the wrong things. But everything began to change when someone prayed for them for the first time, and their hearts slowly opened to the possibility of adoption. The kids that became theirs are blessed, living good lives with faithful new parents, flourishing as a happy family. I hope you'll join us over the next 2 days as we talk about the miracle of adoption and how God wrote an incredible story of redemption in the lives of the Baltadanos. Let's go there now. As we get started, Robert, apart from being the general manager of The Bridge Radio out on the East Coast, you were involved in pastoral ministry for a number of years. Tell us a little bit about that calling on your life.
Absolutely. I went to Bible college, Calvary Chapel Bible College, back in the early 90s. I felt a call just to learn the Bible. You know, before I was a Christian, I was heading towards the film industry. You know, I started doing a lot of internships with a lot of big production companies, film companies. And when I got saved, I figured, well, the Lord's going to use me to be in the Christian film industry. But He didn't. He put a desire in my heart to just learn the Bible. And that's what started my journey at Bible college. And from that is where the Lord revealed the calling to be a pastor.
Beautiful. And Corrine, master's degree in marriage and family therapy, mm-hmm. education as well, mm-hmm. 10 years teaching. I think you were in... Weren't you a middle school counselor?
Yeah. And so my passion goes that way, in that when we were married for some time, I wanted to be able to work with children, and the door opened with counseling children. And in the school environment, it just became a win-win.
We're going to talk about your journey together. It's a fascinating story, one that we hope will bring a lot of encouragement, especially to couples out there who are on this journey with you. In the midst of it, I want to go back and just talk about how you met, the early days of your relationship, and what was happening. Where did you guys meet? Corrine, you tell us the
high
juicy
school.
Stuff.
We're in two different high schools, but I was 13 and Robert was 16. I was a ninth grader and he was an 11th grader. And we met through a friend, just purely friendship for a couple years. And what happens with best friends? We started a date.
Yeah. But before that, though, when I first met her, it was a friend of mine who was dating her friend. And I believe they broke up. And he went out to drop off stuff to her house because they were best friends, as his ex-girlfriend. I did not want to go. I said, no, I don't want to go. He goes, come on, I need somebody to go with me. So I said, all right, fine. So I went with him, went to the house, met her, she thought I was stuck up at first.
You were.
And
you were.
There was no chemistry right away. It was just like, okay, I met, you know, Karen and whatever. Then afterwards, I think little by little, we became friends and we were talking on the phone and all. So we had a friendship for about, what, 2 years, 3 years, yeah? And that kind of began to evolve into a more, I had more feelings for her. And then that led to us becoming boyfriend and girlfriend. We weren't Christians at this time. Yeah. And we started that journey together and led to her getting saved first. And then she took me to church. I was raised Roman Catholic. So she would say, go to church with me. I said, no, I don't need to go. I don't believe in God like you. And finally, I gave in. I went to church. And a few times after going to church, I went down to an invitation to receive Christ.
So I was like 17 and he was 20. And he had gotten saved and I had gotten saved just right before. And it was pivotal. Like, we know who we are not saved, mm-hmm. and we know who we are saved.
Well, you guys, I can tell, have a lot of fun together.
We do.
Love to laugh. You know, in the midst of it, we all know that when you get married, you have dreams, aspirations. And for pretty much everyone, you have this desire to have children. Mm-hmm. You guys began that journey, wanting to get pregnant mm-hmm. and start a family. Take us down that road.
Actually, we really remember October 2000 because we really felt like when we had made the decision and we were going to move forward, the next month I'd be pregnant. I really did believe that. And to our shock, we weren't. And then you think, okay, it might take 2-3 months. And then the second, third month. And I will say that first year, even though we just kind of did this alone and didn't tell anyone we were trying, it was shocking to me. I was used to A plus B equals C. I didn't understand the miraculous thing it is that someone even gets pregnant. And then you start studying it. And at a year into it, that's when we decided to go see a doctor.
Started getting concerned. You know, a lot of people, if you look up online, you research things out, talk to doctors. I mean, usually the concern button turns on about where? 12 months in?
Yeah, they say, please don't like come until after 12 months. Yeah, we started researching all that. Like,
I know.
All the things.
Because you're up there constantly looking at everything. You're wondering what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was. I mean, coming from a Hispanic family, the expectation to have your own children was high, you know, and so that was a pressure on my end when we began to realize that, you know, we weren't getting pregnant, right? And so, of course, you have your mom, you know, saying, you know, well, you know, what's going on, and putting pressure on that end. And so you have this expectation.
Or people periodically joking around you, hey, well, when are you going to have kids, blah,
exactly.
blah, blah. And they don't know the journey or the pain that you're going through.
And that was a tough one because during that time, I was in upstate New York. We planted a church up there. So I was pastoring already. And during that hard time, when people found out that we were having struggles getting pregnant, then people start giving us advice. But the advice was really wonky.
Like you need to go on a cruise. Or
cruise. And
well, you need to relax.
Take this and eat that.
Eat licorice. And, I mean, this position, that. And I'm like,
hey,
no,
relax.
No, no.
Take the stress off or whatever.
I mean, no.
A billion things coming at you. And then, and not realizing that what was happening was just injuring you at a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Because it just compounded everything, right?
It did. And I think one of the challenges for me personally as a pastor, teaching about faith, teaching about prayer, God provides, that we prayed. It's not like we left God out of the equation.
Oh,
we prayed.
We probably prayed 2-3 times a day.
All the time. And believing. Yeah, believing God would heal my wife or heal me, whatever was going on. But it wasn't happening. So here I had to wrestle with this myself as I'm before a pulpit teaching people to have faith in God. Put your trust in Him, Proverbs 3:5-6. But then what about me? I would always envision myself with a little girl, then a little boy, but it wasn't happening. So for me, I had to deal with that pain in a different way than my wife, obviously, because for me, it was more like, you know, this is what Hispanics do. They have children, they have a daughter, they have a boy, they go out and play in the park and all. To me, it was one of those things where I had to just sift through those thoughts because the enemy comes into your mind, right? And throws doubts in your mind that God doesn't care. You know, you guys are not going to have kids. And so it was just wrestling with that. But the biggest thing was to be on the same page as my wife. Because at first I wasn't on the same page when it came to that decision of adoption. I wasn't there yet. I was still trying to say, we got to have kids. It's going to happen. God's going to bless us. But it wasn't happening. And that kind of kept me out of sync with her, because I think God was already moving in her heart.
What do you think happened in your relationship with God during that time? Because, I mean, there's a big word here that we need to say, and that's the issue of loss. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of loss here, of not being able to have children. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Did it affect your relationship with God initially or what have you?
No, it didn't really, because then my mind started going towards the Romans 8 adoption, that we're adopted. He doesn't see me separate from a Jew, right? There's no Greek, no Jew. Everybody's one. And I'm thinking, I could do that too. I could look at my adopted son or daughter and look at them as my child, because they're adopted like I am adopted before God the Father. So I start kind of going through that theologically.
And that's something how you're processing that. You know, that's a gift in my mind from God.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, in counseling, when we talk about this, I remember we put together the Care and Counsel Bible. We looked at the life of Hannah, mm-hmm. you know, back and talked about infertility, that the pain poured out of her because she was barren, you know, that, and she wailed at it. What was it like for you? Because I don't want to lose this point for those who are listening right now who might be right there.
Right.
You know, that, and this doesn't feel right. As a matter of fact, it feels horrible in the moment.
And I would like to really share the loss part and dealing with it. I don't know how people do it without Christ, but it does mean when that time of the month comes, you're on the bathroom floor crying and you are hurting and you are wondering why, or you thought this was the month or something you felt like was going to be different. So when those months go by and turn into years, they are heavy and they are hard to pick up yourself every time. So I know you were dealing with it theologically and God's promises in ways, but emotionally, you feel like you're being kicked between the eyes every time.
Robert, and you mentioned that it took a while for the two of you to get on the same page. So no doubt you're on your personal journey. She's on her journey. What began to bring these worlds together? Because there's brokenness and they're often hard to give words to. You know, that you want to hold each other, you don't know what to say, or you've said a million things and you've run out of what to say. And that's where it gets really difficult. And it's, how do we help each other get there, whatever there is?
Yeah, I think the hard part for me is watching her, you know, going through her own pain. You know, as a man, it's kind of hard to relate with the emotions of another woman, right? I mean, it's hard, right? With my wife, trying to, you know, feel what she's feeling, because I'm different, right? The way God wired us. And so I did not like to see that when we had conversations and what she would say about her struggles and stuff. I didn't know what to say. And of course, going back to Hannah or Elkanah, you know, in that whole process of, well, am I better than 10 sons? It's like, you got me. Come on, you got me. You know, that was my thought. It's like,
you totally did.
Don't. Hey, we're together. We're having fun. We're traveling. But it wasn't enough for her. And so I had to figure that out, right? Because as a husband, I could have ran her over and said, just deal with it. We'll be fine, right? But I couldn't, because it was very fragile. And I could have put a big kink in the marriage if I went in that route, because I know her. I've known her, you know, 30-some years. So I know how she processes certain things. So I had to step back. And then I had to spend my own personal time saying, God, I need wisdom here. How do I deal with this, to know how to deal with her?
I think a lot of couples will tend to think that they're the only ones who are going through this that way, and they often feel isolated and alone. And I don't want to lose this, because I want to normalize it for a moment. Mm-hmm. This is loss, and this is a transition. By the way, God can bring light into that, but getting from that point to that point takes work. And that's what you guys are talking about. Mm-hmm. And the concern is a lot of couples get into trouble right here, and it creates real distance.
Absolutely.
And even potentially a break between the two of them.
Absolutely. And I would say that probably is more the direction, sadly, because your intimate life is totally becoming an experiment to the medical field. You are doing things medically and checking things into it. You're the Christian part. You're wondering, is this God's way of saying you're not supposed to be a parent? Is this, am I playing God if I go into even the simplest of interventions? People really struggle that. You have everyone's opinion around you who also want to play into that. You're also watching people who don't have a care in their world, not using any kind of protection, getting pregnant left and right. And you're wondering, why do they get to be parents and we don't? So you're dealing with, does God favor them? How is this? And the church is really struggling in stepping forward
to
on
speak
this.
Into this issue.
Absolutely.
And part of it's because people don't walk around and talk about this.
True.
No one wants to talk about what's not going right. How are you guys doing? Great.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're not doing great. This is rough. Mm-hmm. This is a nightmare for us. And the church, because the church often doesn't have language for it or a plan, they don't know how to speak into it. And so rather than putting together some type of effort, program, anything,
yes,
the couples are left to, quote, get help on the outside from somewhere else. Isn't that true?
It is very true. In fact, when we were in upstate New York, we started a ministry called Hannah's Hope.
Well, actually, to step back, Pastor David said, there's a ministry I want you guys to lead. He goes, I want you to run an infertility group. I'm like, really? Like, of everything? Anything else? Anything.
But it was really good, though, because we had 25 couples that started, because they're in the church. They just don't speak up.
Yeah.
What I remember seeing, you had the husband, the wife, the husband was the one that was not on the same page. You could tell, you know, because the husband's not on the same page. These guys are having a hard time. And that was the whole point, was to try to get the couples on the same page.
Okay, so let's keep going here for a moment. Getting to a place of where, okay, we know what we're up against here, mm-hmm. okay? And that acceptance piece means, okay, now where do we go from here? Tell us what was happening for the two of you.
The turning point was in New York when we went to that doctor.
Right. So we took the steps and went and met with the doctor. And what they always do first is check the mail, because it's a yay or nay or maybe.
It's about sperm count and all that,
sperm
right?
count, healthy, does have mobility. Of course, Robert was like, not me. But he went through the process and checked out fine. Then the woman, so much more complex. Some people have a medical diagnosis.
So you guys had really unexplained infertility issues.
That's what they told us.
Yeah, and that's when they said, it's my eggs likely, only ways through IVF, and it'll either be yes or no. And in my own infertility journey, I guess one of the blessings I always found, and I don't mean to be harsh on this, is that I never miscarried. Like, I never even got pregnant. If I ever got pregnant, they would have been more hopeful in my infertility journey. But they really didn't sound like any hope.
Yeah.
So it's costly. We had enough money for one try or...
I don't think people understand that, too. It is expensive. Mm-hmm. Here's more added burden now on top mm-hmm. of everything.
Yeah.
You know, the old insult to injury type thing. You know, it's just like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
God, what's happening? But what's happening is there's a burning desire down in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not wrong. It's not bad mm-hmm. to want to have children.
No.
Making sure that we give voice to that for a second. Take us into the next step then. How did you guys navigate these seas?
So now we've been confirmed. We decided together. Here's the important part. It was together. We're not doing this IVF. And then we start talking about adoption. I wasn't 100% behind adoption at that time, because in my mind, it crossed my mind to just say, well, let's just not have kids. This is the end here. But then Karen starts saying, well, what about adoption?
And I waited until he got on board. I was not interested in single parenting at all. I didn't just want a baby. I wanted a family. And so I waited till Robert was on board, and it did take years before you did. And then when he was on board, we just went to every adoption seminar to check into it.
Right.
in that way. But the one thing I do appreciate, Robert, that you would always say, even when we were struggling, that it's not bad, like, to desire, that it was normal and natural to desire a family. We weren't desiring something wicked or wrong. And we even tell single friends that, who have not got married and been waiting, your desire for a spouse is not wrong. Like, it's good. This is what God planned.
And Robert, in a lot of ways, that goes back to your theological training. You were really wrestling with God through mm-hmm. this. And what did God, again, put in your heart?
God actually started working that into me. And that's the whole thing about the adoption and being able to see how God sees me as an adopted son. And that began to help me. That whole theological process began again for me. So when we moved back to California, then we started to kind of, like my wife said, Karine, that we start looking into adoption seminars, and we were going to these places, meeting with agencies. And basically, Ted Heumann, who was the attorney who was got used tremendously in California, he's still doing this adoption ministry that he has, and he's a lawyer. He's the one that, I don't know how we found out, at his house, he had this support for people that wanted to adopt. And we were in this circle, about 10 people. He didn't know us from Adam. And he looked at us and he says, you know what? I'm going to pray for you guys. God just laid this on my heart. Let me pray for you guys. Mm-hmm. And I looked there, I'm like, I don't even know who we are. He doesn't know our story.
And it's also the first time anyone really prayed over us.
Yes.
For infertility.
So he started praying over us. And the Lord began to open those doors with him for adoption.
Well, we're up against time here just for a moment, but this is a fascinating story because I want to make sure our listeners know you don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast, because what God has done in this home, in this marriage, mm-hmm. is beyond spectacular. And they're going to take you down a road of a unique journey that God brought into their life, and how God's brought two children in a special way that you won't want to miss. Let's button up today's broadcast by just speaking to that couple who are out there right now. And maybe there are loved ones listening who know of a couple. What would be your word of hope and encouragement as we wrap up today's program?
If I could give encouragement to family and friends who know someone who's struggling, love on them. Don't offer advice without being asked for it, and like, pray for them, just pray over them, but try to, like you were saying, normalize it in giving them opportunities to speak about perhaps the sadness of loss or how hard Mother's Day might be, just giving them opportunities to be real and open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, don't give up, because the desire that you have is a good thing. And God created us to procreate, and that's a good thing. If that desire is in you, there's ways and that we can talk about in the next program on how we did this and how God provided for the funds in what we did. So I say, don't lose hope. God has a plan for you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. 85% of what you're worried about today will never actually happen. And yet, worry hijacks your energy and robs your peace. Jesus knew this. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Don't worry about tomorrow." Why? Because worry doesn't change outcomes. It only changes your outlook. Clinically, chronic worry activates the brain's threat center, keeping your body in a low-grade fight-or-flight state. Spiritually, it reflects a misplaced trust. God promises daily bread, though, not tomorrow's stockpile. So each time you catch yourself worrying today, write it down, and then write one truth from Scripture next to it. Watch fear shrink when faith speaks louder. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net. That's AACC.net. This is Dr. Zach Clinton, and in my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. Now, I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. That's why at Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian counselor or coach who shares your faith and your values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or maybe facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctively Christian. So if you or someone you know may be looking for help, hope, or healing, we invite you to take that next step today. All you have to do is go to ChristianCareConnect.com. Again, that's ChristianCareConnect.com, and you can easily find a provider within 100 miles of your zip code. For further support, you can even email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. Most importantly, remember, you don't have to walk this journey alone. Again, ChristianCareConnect.com, a new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.